إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فإن الخير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله we now enter the business end of Ramadan, the last 10 nights of this blessed month, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds many treasures of forgiveness and blessings of on many, many different levels. But the onus is on us, the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make an effort to seek out these treasures and obtain them within these last 10 nights, and not sit at home thinking that they will just fall into our laps and have vain hopes in obtaining Allah's mercy without putting any effort. And it's actually quite amazing. I remember very clearly giving the last khutbah here, and Ramadan was just about to start, and subhanAllah, already Ramadan is nearly over. And each person has acquired what they have within this blessed month. But even if we haven't managed to live up to our expectations, even if we haven't managed to fulfill our objectives that we set out for this blessed month, it's still not too late. The greatest 10 nights of the year are about to start tonight, in which, like I said, the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are infinite. Infinite. And the rahmah and the mercy is even, although it's infinite anyway, it is of a greater proportion and it is witnessed by a greater number of people. And the last thing we want to do is start taking the foot off the pedal and start thinking, Ramadan is coming to an end, alhamdulillah, let's start our Eid celebrations, let's start our Eid preparations, I'll start sending out the invite cards and stuff like this. Because now, as the hadith tells us, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the last 10 days and nights started, he would tighten his izar. He would take the last 10 nights more seriously than he would the rest of Ramadan, and he would take the whole of Ramadan seriously. He wouldn't allow days and hours and seconds to go by without doing something of worship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we have a challenge because we're fasting 20-hour days. We have the challenge of fatigue, not only the challenge of hunger, which I'm sure you will all bear witness to, isn't as bad once the first few fasts have got over and done with. But what remains a challenge is the fatigue, especially if we're working throughout the month of Ramadan. Fatigue really is an issue. So we need to plan our day properly. We need to get enough rest, so particularly we take the benefit of the night. Because the night really is what, 4 hours long. It's not long. So we need to conserve our energy to gain the benefit of these last 10 nights. And these last 10 nights are a gift which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to this ummah, which He never gave to any other ummah before us. And within this last 10 nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved one night which is better than 1,000 months of worship. Better than 83 years of worship. The scholars have explained this as saying that if you were to worship 83 years consistently 83 years of worship, then this one night is not equal to. It is better than that worship of 83 years. So 2 rakah in this blessed night is better than 2 rakah in any other night, in any other day. Reciting the Qur'an in this blessed night is better than reciting the Qur'an in any other night. And we mentioned a few months back about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being ash-shukur, Allah being the most appreciative. Well, His appreciation is shown even more in the blessed month of Ramadan, where He rewards deeds without measure. Without measure. So a deed which is done sincerely for His pleasure, regardless of how small it may be, regardless of how small an individual may think it be, if it's done for His pleasure and the intention is correct and the sincerity is correct and it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that reward can be infinite if He so wishes it to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed we sent the Qur'an down in the night of decree. We sent it down on the night of decree. And what can make you understand, what can make you know what is the night of decree? The night of decree is better than 1,000 months. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ, and He mentioned this in several places in the Qur'an, it really signifies to us the importance of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. And really, Allah is signifying to us that we can never truly appreciate this, the blessings in this one night, the greatness of this one night. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, what can make you understand what the night of power is, it really should make us wake up. It should really make us wake up and pay attention and look for this blessed night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like I mentioned, has decreed for this nation this one night, worship in which is better than 83 years of worship. But it does require, like I said, for us to get up and put effort into it. It's not going to fall into the lap of somebody sitting at home, looking at the clock, waiting for time to pass by. It requires effort. And anything which requires effort, regardless of how small and how large that effort may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to reward the individual who puts in the effort. The individual who understands that, you know what, I may not be alive to see another 10 nights of Ramadan. I may not be alive to witness another Laylatul Qadr. So let me put my last efforts of this blessed month, really strive hard and seek out the barakah of this blessed month. And this is an analogy which I like to give. You know the Harrods sale. Back in the days when I was younger, the Harrods sale was one of the sales that everyone paid great attention to. I don't know if it's so much so now, but back in the days when I was younger, people would camp outside Harrods a couple of days before the sale even started in order to rush in and grab the bargains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering us a night which is better than 83 years of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is announcing to the ummah that a night is coming in the last 10 nights in which the treasures, my treasures, are open to anyone who looks to take them. Would we not be sending tweets out? Would we not be sending text messages out? Would we not be sending emails out? I'm going to be doing this. What are you going to be doing? How are you going to prepare? How are you going to get the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We send emails for sales and stuff like this. I'm looking for the latest 42-inch plasma. Can you advise me? But what about I'm looking for the maghfirah? I'm looking for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you advise me on how I can get that? Do we not think at that level? Unfortunately, many of us don't. Many of us don't. Many of us simply look at the very basic level of fasting. That is keeping away from food and water and drink and relations with one's spouse. That's it. That's as far as they want to go. They don't want to achieve any more than that. Especially when the hours are long, they just, I just can't do it. And we forget the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the secret of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order that you obtain piety. The purpose of these long fasts, are not that we feel hunger and thirst. That's not the purpose. The purpose is not that we feel what the poor feel. Because the poor also have to fast, do they not? The poor have to fast, as well as the rich having to fast. And the poor, when they get to break their fast, if they get to break their fast, some of them continue to fast. So the purpose of our fasting is not necessarily to feel compassion with the poor. Although that is an objective which is met through fasting. But it is not the primary objective. The primary objective is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order that you become pious. But how can keeping away from food and drink make a man pious? Make a woman pious? It doesn't. In and of itself, it doesn't. But it trains the body. It trains the soul. It allows the individual to focus. For once, for 30 days, it allows the individual to focus away from their food and drink. From this animalistic nature that we have. Opening the fridge, take out some food. Open the fridge, take out some drink. Open the fridge, take out some more food. And we're very blessed in this country to be able to do that. It takes them away from that routine and focuses them on something even greater. And I mentioned last year, and I'll mention again, the purpose of the fast is that the whole body fasts. The whole body fasts. The eyes fast, the ears fast, the limbs fast, the hands fast, the legs fast. This is the second level of fasting. So the eyes don't look at that which is displeasing to Allah. The Muslim men and the Muslim women, they lower their gaze in the month of Ramadan, more so than outside of Ramadan. They fear Allah. They remind themselves that Allah is watching. They don't listen to backbiting and gossiping and slander, which is haram to listen to anyway. But in the month of Ramadan, they make a greater effort not to do it, not to partake in it. They don't touch that which is haram. They don't walk to that which is haram. Alhamdulillah, in the night time, at Isha time, you see the Muslims doing what? They're walking to the Quran, to the masjid. They're holding the Quran. They're reading the Quran. They're listening to the Quran. These are things which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is through actions such as this that we become people of taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And then the greatest level of fasting is fasting of the heart. That we control the emotions of the heart. It's a great difficulty when you're fasting 20 hours a day. In heat such as this. Driving to work. Stuck in a horrendous traffic. I was speaking to a brother at work the other day, just yesterday. And he told me he nearly had 3 fights on his way into work. And he goes, may Allah forgive me, may Allah forgive me. He just wasn't able to control his temper on that day. The purpose is to control these emotions which are unbecoming to us. Especially when the Prophet ﷺ advised us that when you are fasting and somebody tries to pick an argument with you, you should tell them, I'm fasting. Obviously that doesn't work in this society because people say, so what if you're fasting? I still want to thump you. No, but alhamdulillah, we just remind ourselves, I'm fasting. I'll control my temper. I'll control my rage. Envy, jealousy. Another action of the heart. Another feeling of the heart which we control and we try to remove. And all of this is done not so that when Ramadan comes we go back to watching things which are haram and listening to things which are haram and feeling things which are haram. But rather we think, you know what? Allah gave me the tawfiq to do this in the month of Ramadan. I have the strength to do it outside of the month of Ramadan. And now more so that the last 10 nights are coming up, we need to make a real effort. Like I said, the nights are not long. The nights are not long. We have a very short window to obtain that mercy and that forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when is the night of power? The night of Qadr? We know it's in the last 10. And we know from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was actually told it. He was actually told the particular night in which he was on. And he came out to tell the people and he heard two Muslims arguing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to forget. And he said, I came out to tell you the night on which Laylatul Qadr would fall, but I heard so and so and so and so arguing, and I was caused to forget it. So maybe that is better for you. And wallahi, it is better for us. There is wisdom in that. There is wisdom in that. Because otherwise, people would actually neglect most of Ramadan. And they would just look for this one night. And they would catch that one night and they think, "Oh, mashallah, I've done it. I caught that one night." But by hiding it away from us, by keeping it in the knowledge of the unseen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see who amongst His slaves is really serious. Just for 30 days, who's really serious about obtaining my treasures of forgiveness, of mercy, of so many, 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 many gifts. So it was hidden from the Muslims. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, seek it on the odd nights. So the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, the 29th. But what happens if maybe we started Ramadan late? So when does that odd night is? That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also advised us to seek it in the last 10 nights. Khalas. Seek it in the last third, last 10 nights. He didn't mention odd or even. He just said seek it in the last 10 nights. Because again, he wants to encourage the Muslims. If you seek it every night in the last 10, then you're bound to catch it. Bound to catch it. If you hedge your bets, there's a possibility that you may not catch it. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And that is why Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he says the believer should seek it out in all of the last 10 days. In Imam Nawawi, his opinion was, there is no way to reconcile the ahadith apart from saying that the night of Qadr moves. It's not always on the 27th, it's not always on the 29th, but it moves between the odd nights. And that was his opinion. But the Muslim is seeking it throughout the last 10 nights. And going back to this hadith about the Prophet coming out to inform us, and he was made to forget because he heard two Muslims arguing. And this is a complete side issue here. Look at what happened when there was discourse and disunity. Sorry, when there was disunity amongst the Muslims. Look at the blessing which was removed from the Ummah. The wisdom, the night of Laylatul Qadr was taken away from the heart of our Prophet because the Muslims were disunited. The Muslims were arguing. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam became so upset and so unhappy that he was made to forget this such an important date. This is what disunity does, my dear brothers and sisters. This is what happens when we argue over futile and puerile things. When there are greater goals, when there are Muslims being massacred. SubhanAllah, I'll give you one example. One example. WhatsApp. I'm sure you've all heard of WhatsApp. And I'm sure you all belong to many groups of WhatsApp. Alhamdulillah, in Ramadan I just deleted them. I dropped them all. But before I did, there was a WhatsApp message going around. Let's change the icon. Everyone should change the icon on their WhatsApp message to, I think it was something like Free Palestine. And then there was a flag and stuff like that. A few hours later, there was another message which came out. Brothers and sisters, please don't change your picture because this was a picture which was designed by the Illuminati. Because if you look at the hand, and you look at the flag, and you do this with it, and you do that with it, you see the one eye. I don't know what the one eye is supposed to signify. The one eye of the Dajjal, the Illuminati, I'm sure many of the brothers here will know what I'm talking about. Please don't use it. And then they said, use the Palestinian flag. And then another message came. No brothers, flags are haram. This is nationalism. And all the while, the Muslims are just arguing. This message, it went on for pages. This argument went on for pages and pages and pages. And it was a complete and utter waste of time. And all the while, our brothers and sisters are being murdered in Palestine. And do you think they're bothered about what picture we have on our WhatsApp account?
There is absolutely no unity amongst the Muslims. This is a sign of the times. The Prophet ﷺ prophesied this time. The companions couldn't even envisage such a time. When he told them that a time will come when nations will gather together, just as you gather together at a feast, and they will take from the Muslim Ummah, they will cut it up into pieces, into portions. Just as you cut up the meat and you give, here, you take the leg, here, you take the thigh, I'll take the breast piece. Like that. You take Iraq, you take Iran, I'll take Saudi, you take Palestine, you take this. That's how it was going to be. And the Muslims and the companions, they could only understand. The only way they could understand this was, this is because we will be few in number on that day. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, is this because on that day we will be few in number? He replied, no. You will be many on that day. You will be many on that day. 1.5 billion Muslims in the world today. You will be many on that day. But you will be like the scum which floats on the surface of the ocean. Useless, pathetic, dirty, disgusting. And Allah will remove the fear of you from the hearts of your enemies, and He will put wahan into your heart. So they replied, O Messenger of Allah, what is wahan? And he said, love of this dunya and fear of death. We have fallen in love with this dunya so to such a degree that it even doesn't allow us to gain the benefit of the months of Ramadan. We are so distracted by this dunya and the little that it has to offer us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering us gardens which are greater than the width of the heavens and the earth, under which rivers flow, in which you will feel no remorse, no anger, no unhappiness, in which you will be married to beautiful spouses, in which you will have the maghfirah and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We still cling on to this earth. We still cling on to our £30,000 salaries and our BMWs and our bank accounts as though this is the be all and end all of my life. And to give you a sign of the times, when we call people to give for charity, we can't just say, give to charity, save your own skins, save for your akhirah. No, we have to say, come, there'll be a 3-course meal. And such a dinner company will be providing it. And we'll have entertainment for you. And we will entertain you. And then we will ask you. No. We will beg you for money. We will plead with you to give us money. It's astounding. Astounding. The situation of the Muslim Ummah today. You know that I'm part of Viva Islam and that we're building a masjid in Mexico. One of the first masjids there. We had our first annual dinner in May. We had to do the same thing. We, the charity, had to spend money to get the brothers and sisters in, to feed them, to entertain them, just to get money out of them. How obscene is that? How obscene is that? When the Prophet ﷺ collected for the Battle of Tabuk, he encouraged the brothers, he encouraged his companions to give. He gave them promises of paradise. He gave them promises of the forgiveness of Allah, and that was enough. That was all they needed. He didn't say, come, I will feed all of you. Come, I will tell you some stories, I will entertain you. That's all he said. And the people came, and the women came, and they were giving their necklaces, and they were giving their jewelry. And Abu Bakr and Uthman radiallahu anhu came and he equipped the army. Umar radiallahu anhu came and gave half of his wealth. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and gave his entire wealth. Yet we have to beg and plead. £10,000, brothers. And there are brothers, mashallah, there are brothers who have 5 cars, they have hundreds of properties, they are so wealthy, so wealthy. And you think, £10,000? You can't even give, you know, we have to battle for £10,000? How shameful is that? And forget building a mosque. There are Muslims dying. Muslims dying. Our mothers, our fathers, our children are dying. Bombs are, as I speak to you now, preparations are being made to drop bombs on their heads, to shoot them, to kill them, to massacre them. Not just in one country, but several countries. And I don't do this, and I don't say this to cause your anger to do stupid and foolish things. No. But I want us to think and realize, what are we in this dunya for? For the little that we have? Or are we striving for a paradise whose width is greater than the heavens and the earth? In these last 10 nights, let us strive. Let us give in charity. The best charity is the charity which is given in the month of Ramadan. Let us read the Quran. Let us ponder over its words. Let us listen to the recitation of the Imam. Let us weep our tears. And let us pray for the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every night in Ramadan, Allah has those whom He ransoms from the fire. In it, the gates of paradise are opened, and the gates of hell are shut, and the devils are chained. There are many means of forgiveness in this month. And the one who is truly deprived is the one who is deprived of the goodness of this month. And the one who is a true loser is the one who has not been forgiven by the end of this month. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, may his nose be rubbed in the dust. A man for whom Ramadan comes and it goes and he hasn't been forgiven. Because if we are not forgiven in this month, my dear brothers and sisters, when will we be forgiven? When we are, if we are not forgiven in this month, in which the taps to Allah's mercy, they are all open and they are all flowing. If we cannot shower under those taps, if we cannot wash our sins away under those taps, when will we do it? For what are we waiting? May his nose be rubbed in the dust for a man for whom Ramadan comes and it goes and he hasn't been forgiven. By preparation, I want to make my list. Preparation. Day 1, day 2, I'm still preparing. Day 3, day 5, he's still preparing. Day 15, he's still preparing. Oh yeah, I'll do it. Oh yeah, last 10 nights are coming. I'll catch the last 10 nights. Last 10 nights start. Oh, I'm not ready quite yet. Night 25, I'll catch 25, 27. Oh, I missed 25. Oh, I'll catch. I missed. And before we know it, the Imam is standing for Eid prayers. That's how Ramadan goes to some of us. That's how Ramadan goes to some of us. So let us not be in that category. And finally, and I will finally finish with this, the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, Laylatul Qadr, what should I say? Aisha radiallahu anha said, if I find Laylatul Qadr, what should I say? Did he give her pages and pages of dua? No, a beautiful, simple dua. Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, Allahumma innaka, verily, certainly, you forgive. And you love to forgive. Allah loves to forgive us. Don't think that you are an evil sinner that Allah cannot forgive. Allah loves to forgive you. He just wants you to raise your hands and say, Ya Rabbi, forgive me. So, oh Allah, you indeed you forgive and you love to forgive, so forgive me. Keep saying that. Especially in these last 10 nights. And afu actually isn't forgiveness. It's more than forgiveness. It is erasure. Erasure of sins. Wiping away sins. Removing sins so that they never even occurred. They are no longer on your scrolls. Oh, I did this sin. What sin? It's not here. Erased. Gone. Wiped out. So not only will Allah forgive you the sins, He will wipe them out. He will get His rubber, rub it out from your scroll. Gone. Never to be seen again. With one dua. Allahumma. If you have, you know, we should all know these duas now. And we should all be teaching our children these duas. Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, indeed you forgive and you love to forgive, so forgive me.
I pray that we can make the best of these last 10 nights, that we can receive the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in these last 10 nights, the du'as of the Muslims, the du'as of our imams, who are crying in their kunut, and the people behind them are crying at the state of the Muslims in Palestine and Syria and all around the world. The Muslims are shedding tears, yet still nothing moves some of us. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to take benefit of these last 10 nights. Even if we haven't been able to do so up until now, that Allah allows us to take benefit of these 10 nights, that we can be amongst those who are forgiven in their entirety, in their entirety, in this blessed month. And that He accepts whatever little that we have done, and whatever great that we have done, He accepts it all from us. And then He removes the trials and tribulations that have been put upon the Muslim Ummah. That He removes us, removes them, and He returns us to the greater glories that we once upon a time had. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. Kima salat.